We begin this hour with an old story of power and influence, national pride and outsized ego, the race to build the tallest building in New York City.
Suddenly, the race was on among the rich and powerful to build the ultimate edifice in the modern age of business titans. A new word was coined for these ambitious spires to the clouds: skyscraper. Architects reveled in their new notoriety, throwing wild costume parties where they would lay claim to their audacious design achievements. In 1929, there were over 700 buildings that were at least 20 stories tall.
That bit of narration from a History Channel documentary could have been written almost any year over the last century. That's how long the race to build the world's tallest building has dominated the skyline in New York City. But today, a bittersweet, triumphant, and almost ironic chapter will be added to that New York saga. If wind speeds aren't prohibitive, a steel column will be lifted on top of the existing framework at One World Trade Center, making it New York's new tallest building by 21 feet over the Empire State Building that has reigned since the Twin Towers were destroyed back in 2001. One of the many architects associated with the World Trade Center site, Daniel Libeskind, says the emotional impact of this place makes it one of a kind.
I thought it kind of a symphonic, the sound, you know, da-da-da-da. When you think of at the center, you have to be struck by the intensity of that memory and at the same time affirm, like in a Beethoven's fifth.
Memory, intensity, as Daniel Libeskind there says, the architect. The World Trade Center site has it all. We're going to talk a little bit about what it means today that 21-foot milestone is passed architecturally, but it means a lot more historically speaking. Carol Willis, director of the Skyscraper Museum. This is the first tallest building in New York that had zero chance of being the tallest building in the world, right?
Well, yes, that's right, because just about 3 years ago in Dubai, in the Middle East, the building called the now called the Burj Khalifa, which is over 2,700 feet tall, twice as tall as the original World Trade Center, and 1,000 feet taller than the spire of the new One World Trade Center, is already open. And it will be the tallest man-made structure for quite some time to come, because it does take a long time to build skyscrapers that are super tall.
Even today, Carol Willis, director of the Skyscraper Museum. Stephen Nesson is digital producer for our co-producer WNYC. He actually spoke with Daniel Libeskind, the architect, in that clip we played. Stephen, you've spent a lot of time down at the site. And what is the sound of America getting its tallest building back? So what does that sound like?
Well, it's certainly cacophonous. There's all kinds of different operations going on the site. There's steel, there's concrete being poured, there's welding going on. So there's a lot of different sounds, as well as the traffic from Manhattan, because we're in Lower Manhattan there.
And there's a light that stops on the West Side Highway at the site, and sometimes you'll see workers next there by the elevators that go up in the Freedom Tower, One World Trade Center Tower. And I've heard on many occasions people from the street rolling down their windows and saying, make it taller, make it taller. What's the spirit down there?
Well, it's very, I would say, almost ebullient. The guys, they have a good time down there. You're in the elevators. It takes a long time to get to the top now. So there's a lot of joking and ribbing going on in the elevator. And guys are in good spirits. This is a great job for them.
And yet, in the site of all of that construction is the memorial itself, and the mix of those two, the ebullience you're talking about and the sense of sadness. So what's that like?
Well, I guess to a certain extent, it's, for the guys, it's a work site. So they're there to work. But everyone has Remember 9/11 stickers on their helmets. They wear T-shirts almost every day. So there's definitely a sense of the history of the place. And when you walk over to the memorial, you're right, it is very quiet and peaceful.
Carol Willis, so what do you make of the significance of this site architecturally? We're not talking about a super tall building, but we are talking about a milestone in American history that also has repercussions around the world.
Well, the site, of course, is fraught with great memory and great tragedy. But if we look back to the original World Trade Center and put that into a historical framework, in the more than 100 years of skyscraper history, there was really an evolution from small to tall. And every era has its great significant buildings. In the 1920s, it was the Chrysler Building, all the 720 and more story towers that you talked about, but the Empire State Building, tallest building in the world, and also the largest. And then in the next economic era, it was the World Trade Center and the Sears Tower in Chicago. These were the tallest buildings in the world, but also in their volume of space, the largest that had ever been built.
Carol, describe the characteristics of this particular project, because so many of the American projects that you describe are driven by ego and huge international individual fortunes. This is a building very much designed, at least some have said, by committee. Does it stand a chance to be architecturally memorable?
Well, I think it's very memorable, and we're all looking at it today. And I think as we do look at it, the elegance of the spire as it rises, the beauty of the faceted planes as they catch the sunlight and the changing light give Lower Manhattan a new exclamation point, a new sound of joy, really, that once again there's a restored skyline with a symbol of elegance. But when you look at them historically, they replace two towers that were larger than the one that you see today. So
indeed,
this idea that each era has its own significance and its own meanings has a whole cultural context that surrounds it.
If the buildings are the exclamation points, here are some of the verbs from down there at Ground Zero.
It's an honor to be in that site. It's always good to take pride when you're doing it at a job site just like this.
It's nice to feel like you contributed to something that's, you know, affected a lot of families, a lot of people, and there's a sense of accomplishment. There's a sense of like you're giving back a little bit.
Stephen Nesson, you spoke with those workers. Wouldn't you love to be in the crane of the person that puts that column in place in a few hours?
Well, it's pretty high up there, I have to say. It's a little vertigo-inducing. When you're up there 100 stories, it's quite a sight.
But if you can hold on to the steel up there and keep yourself strapped to the frame of the building, it's an emotional moment.
Definitely. Absolutely.
And can you tell that it's bigger than the Empire State Building?
You can actually see the Empire State Building from the very top. And as the building rose and I went up with it, you could see we're getting up there and we're looking at the peak.
Getting up there and 21 feet past the Empire State Building, if weather permits today. Stephen Nesson, digital producer for our co-producer WNYC. And Carol Willis, thanks so much, director of the Skyscraper Museum right here in New York. Carol and Stephen, thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.